and Brother Arthur Cook will seek the Lord's blessing on the day and this opening service.
Our glorious Creator, we come before Thee with thanks for this privilege. We come to ask Thy blessing on the day, to bless Him who is to break the bread of life to us and our hearts, that we may be open and thereby edified more and more by Thy word. We pray for Thy children everywhere, and especially those in special need, and for the wonderful kingdom and its interests, in Jesus' name, amen.
Just a word of explanation as to this morning's speaker, Brother Dan Larson. Carl was scheduled for speaking today, but as you know, he spoke last Sunday. Today, he has to be in Portland, Oregon for a retirement center meeting. So Brother Dan and Carl substituted assignments. If someone was to ask you, please tell me, what is love? Can you define it? What would you say? Well, our Brother Dan is going to speak to us this morning on aspects of love. Let's give him our close attention. Brother Dan.
Thank you, Brother Bob. First Peter 4:7-8. We'll be using the New American Standard Translation. To the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. The apostle here gives us the formula to accomplish our goal as new creatures, namely, to conform to the image of Christ. Jesus is the express image of the Father, and so if we want to conform to Jesus, we must learn of God and His love. The scripture says in 1 John 4:8, that God is love. He is love in all of His words and actions, the very essence of love. It is only as the Christian loves as God loves that he learns what it means to really love. We learn that God loved us while we were yet sinners, and that He provided Jesus as our ransom. By providing His Son to die on the cross, we see that it cost Him dearly. Just to think of the Father sacrificing the most precious and cherished being in the entire universe, the one who was daily His delight, with whom He had spent eons and eons of ages. Brethren, we can never really comprehend what it cost Him to see His Son laid on the cruel cross to die in agony. And for what? To save us, you and me, and all of mankind. This is what it means to love as God loves. With this example of total sacrifice, Jesus became as His Father. And as we learn to sacrifice our own interests, we become more like Jesus, our head, who always sacrificed His will for that of the Father. Psalms 40 and verse 8. Let's read Psalms 40, verse 8. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within mine heart. As to how we are to show our love, Canon Ferrars once said, and I quote, "My brethren, the love that sees goodness and beauty in all human nature helps make goodness and to make beauty in human nature. To those who love, even a common person is a human soul who walks in the transfiguring glory of their affection. You think a person dull? Why? Because you are dull. An angel has been with you, and you have not known it. And imagine that to a spirit full of malice and self-conceit, an angel would be very dull. Each human soul is like a cavern full of gems. The casual observer glances into it through some cranny, and all looks dark, sullen, and forgotten. But let light enter into it. Lift a torch up to the walls. Let God's sunlight fall into it and flood its open recesses. And lo, it will flash with crystals and with amethysts. And each separate crystal will quiver under the torch of brightness with a transforming discovery of its own nature. If souls do not shine before you, it is because you are bringing them no light to make them shine. Throw away your miserable, smoldering, fuming torch of conceit and hatred, and lift up to them the light of love, and lo, they will arise and shine, yea, flame and burn with an undreamt glory." End of quote. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, gives us a working outline of love. Let's consider verses 4 through 8 in the Weymouth translation so that we can better understand how love covers a multitude of sin. The concept of love can be broken down into 9 ways. 1, love is forbearing, picturing long-suffering. 2, love is kind, or kindness. 3, love knows no jealousy, embodying godliness. 4, love does not brag, is not conceited, illustrating humility. 5, she is not unmannerly, nor selfish, nor irritable, nor mindful of wrongs, in a word, giving. She does not rejoice in injustice, but joyfully sides with the truth, representing nobility. 7, she can overlook faults, being generous. 8, she is full of trust, full of hope, full of endurance, patient, portraying patience or being patient. And 9, love never fails, describing faithfulness. Now let's go back and go over these 9 ways of a working way of love. Going back to the first. 1, love is forbearing, picturing long suffering. The Christian must always remember the Lord's long suffering with us in 2 Peter 3:15. And on account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. We are to extend to others, especially the brethren, the same consideration that the Lord uses in dealing with us. If the Lord can put up with our many, many imperfections, we can surely put up with those of our brethren. On the other side of the coin, This means that we do not have any right to deliberately provoke anyone. We can also be long-suffering with the world, remembering that just as they have persecuted our Lord, they are also going to persecute us. As we read in John, the 15th chapter, and verses 18 to 20, John 15, 18 to 20. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were in the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. With reference to the brethren, we read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, Ephesians 4, verses 2 and 3. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. We must practice forbearing. That is, we are to bear up our brethren, helping them to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. This is especially difficult, but necessary, if you disagree with the other party. Brethren, constantly keep in mind all that the Lord is forgiving in us and how he is always helping us. And we are to do likewise. Number two, love is kind, or kindness. There is a hymn that the children sing at camp. It goes, "Don't walk around all down and out. Lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see." The hymn captures the very essence of kindness, that is, in helping others, helping them with their burdens, no matter who they are or how heavily burdened they may be. The parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke, the 10th chapter, in verses 29 to 35, aptly illustrates this principle. We do not have time to analyze the whole parable, but it involves being kind and in invoking the golden rule, doing unto others as we would have them do unto us if we were in the same situation. The consecrated Christian is under a further law, as we read in Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. Galatians 6:10, "And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith." We are, in fact, to lay down our very lives, if need be, for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. Let us stop for a moment and just think what this implies. If we are to even lay down our lives for our brother, and then we say that we cannot meet or fellowship with some, how are we going to accomplish obedience to this commandment? We we have to know how our brethren are doing if we are to be able to show them some kindness. Brethren, try a little kindness. Don't wait for the large opportunity to come along. Try a little smile, an uplifting word, a quick note, a phone call just to say how you are doing and that I was thinking of you. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone along their way. Number three. The third facet of love is love knows no jealousy, embodying godliness. Jealousy is defined in the Songs of Solomon 8:6 as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are the coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. When we look for someone who has had a so-called right to be jealous but wasn't, and thus exemplifies this principle, we find Jonathan of old. Even though he was the heir to the throne, being Saul's son, he still loved and put David always in front of himself, as we read in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, First Samuel 18, verses 1, 3, and 4. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of the speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his very own soul. We read also in 1 Peter First Peter 5:5-6. First Peter 5:5-6. The admonition of our brother Paul, or brother Peter, to the church. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. As we subject ourselves one to another and are always putting another person's feelings in preference to our own, we will be not jealous of them. Satan fell because he desired to be equal or better than God. If we push our ideas, we cannot see the Lord's ways. Practice submission. Practice submission every day and try to give up your preferences in some little ways to make it a habit and let the Lord do the exalting. Loving so selflessly leaves no room for jealousy. The fourth area of love is closely related. Love does not brag, is not conceited. It is humility. Brother Russell, in reprints number 77, says, and I quote, "Perfect love is gentle, teachable, kind and easy to be entreated. It enters the school of Christ as a pupil, not as a master. Realizing how much yet has to be learned, rather than how much he has attained. Perfect love shows us our ignorance and begets the inexquenchable desire to dissipate that darkness and to enter the realm of real or reliable knowledge. If you find yourself growing wise above all of your teachers, inclined to become dogmatic, to criticize your fellow disciples, and to set up yourself as a standard for the whole church, you have no little reason to fear that you are not controlled by the Spirit of God. Self-wisdom may easily assume the place of divine wisdom, and Satan may appear as an angel of light, even in one who concerns himself only with the most holy things. In no way are his ends more effectually secured than by introducing people to promote the subject of holiness by exceptional methods and in an unteachable and arrogant spirit. Unquote. In Philippians, the second chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us, and we'll be using the New American Standard Version, Philippians 2:2-8. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus never sought to boast of his position, even though he was the Son of God, the only direct creation, the one who made the earth, who cooperated in creating the very men he had come to save. He could perform miracles. But his words were, "I come to do my Father's will, not my own." After all, it is only through the robe that we have any standing. And when we follow our own plans and ideas, we are stepping out from under that robe. Perhaps we don't find ourselves bragging in the way which we usually think of it. But just as an exercise someday, be aware of the number of times that we use the personal pronoun I, me, my, and mine. It can be a very startling revelation to see how much self is in our daily conversation and thinking. Let the Lord exalt us, and let us keep ourselves humble. Number 5, in the aspects of love, she is not unmannerly, nor selfish, nor irritable, nor mindful of wrongs. Love is giving or gracious. It has been said that selfishness is pride gone to seed. Selfishness or pride is the root of all sin. It was Eve's desiring for herself the fruit of the tree that first caused her to go astray. It was Adam's unwillingness to give her up for himself that brought the whole world of mankind to its demise. Brethren, we do not have the right to be ill-mannered, to be demanding, to serve self, or to force our own wills. We especially have no right to be irritable or self-pitying, which is closely related. We are to be instant in season as a principle, not only in witnessing, but in the giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our all, and not only for the world, but to our brethren, our children, our spouses. Number six, the sixth facet of love is that she does not rejoice in injustice, but joyfully sides with the truth, representing nobility. The Christian reacts as God reacts to injustice. It hurts him to let injustice triumph, even for a season. But God is permitting it for our man's ultimate good, that we might choose the Lord's way and thereby gain life. May we always champion righteousness and stand for principle. Brethren, one word of caution, though. We can be in danger of making everything a principle, especially our own very viewpoints, a principle, and thus thwart the Lord's purpose. Brother Russell always stresses, if we are to err, let us err on the side of leniency rather than strictness. It is better for our characters to assume that we may have faults in our imperfect judgment than to demand strict adherence and retribution. The natural man cannot balance perfect judgment, but the new creature leaves all to the Lord and requires none towards himself, while requiring of himself to show justice towards all. Romans 12:19. Let us read Romans 12:19. This is also from the New American Standard Translation. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Number seven, the seventh aspect of love. She can overlook faults, being generous. Joseph is our prime example in this area. In all of his terrible experiences, he never took the aggressor's role, but submitted himself to the Lord's care, as we read in Genesis, the 45th chapter. Let's read Genesis 45. Verses 5 through 7. Genesis 45, 5 through 7. Joseph speaking to his brethren, now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither the earing or nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. We can overlook our brethren's faults when we remember that it is only their flesh that is chafing against ours. The new creatures are striving not to stumble or to be a hindrance to anyone. Our flesh is to be reckoned as dead. And so let's not permit Satan to get the better of us along this line. It is possible to work to not allow our feelings to be hurt by being generous in our thinking, assuming that our brethren are doing the best that they can in any given situation. And really, can we ever assume that they aren't? God forbid. We are to forgive and to forget. Luke 6:37. In reprints 2296, Brother Russell says, and I quote, "Our loving generosity and kindness and desire to think no evil or as little evil as possible should be manifest by all the words and acts of life." Our eighth area in the examination of love is she is full of trust, full of hope, full of endurance, portraying patience or being patient. The Christian, as he or she is in full trust in the Lord and his providences, can exhibit this quality. We read in Psalms, the 37th chapter, Psalms 37, verses 4 and 5. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." And dropping down to verse 40, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him." We are also to trust that our brethren are only seeking that which is good to the edifying of our new creatures. Give the benefit of the doubt. Do not be harsh to judge motives. Hope is our anchor within the veil, Hebrews 6:19. Hebrews 6:19. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that which entered into that within the veil." The Christian's hope lies in the overruling of the Lord, that our experiences and his working them out. We are living as if we were already beyond the veil, as spirit beings. Thus we know that our experiences are working out for our highest spiritual welfare. Brethren, we can afford to be generous. Give the extra effort. Overlook the imperfections of others. We know that they too carry the same hope that we do. Ephesians 4:4, "The one hope of your calling." Likewise, like us, they are striving to keep their flesh under. But with them, as with us, it keeps rearing its ugly head. Full of endurance, Colossians, the third chapter, and verses 12 through 16, we'll read that from the New American Standard, Colossians 3, 12 through 16. And so those, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whosoever hath a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord hath forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is that perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. As we endure hardships, it helps crystallize the character that is pleasing to the Father, as we read in 2 Timothy 4:7-8. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. We'll also be reading from the New American Standard Translation. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be patient and hang on a little longer. The joy and reward far outweighs the pain now. Number 9. The final facet of love is that it never fails. It is faithful. It is very fitting that faithfulness is the last form of love. For God is faithful in all things and to all of his promises, as we read in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, in verses 17 and 18. Hebrews 6, 17 and 18. Wherefore God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have the strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Brethren, we as his children should no less be faithful in all things in our lives. Are we where we say we are going to be when we said we'd be there? Do we finish projects on time as we said we would? Do we keep confidences? Are we regular in our attendance at meetings? Do we follow the dictates of our ecclesia by following the minutes? We must practice to keep our promises whenever we can, to show love in action. Another way to show our love through faithfulness is to be willing to give to the brethren by laying ourselves open, just as Jesus did. We've all built a shell around ourselves to some extent to try to keep from getting hurt. But we must tear it down, expose our true feelings of love for the brethren, and do our best to provide an atmosphere in which our brethren may do the same. The Lord's promise is that He will never, never leave us nor forsake us. Let us follow this example and never leave nor forsake our brethren, all of our brethren. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verses 13 through 16, and we'll be using the New American Standard Translation. 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. Therefore, gird up your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Brother Russell comments on the scripture in reference 31:50. He says in 31:50, some Christians have the erroneous idea that God does all the fashioning and that His children are merely passive in His hand. But Peter does not so express it. He exhorts us to fashion ourselves according to the divine instructions. There is a work to be done in us and about us. And those who are not up to so doing, but who passively sit and wait for the Lord to work miracles on their behalf, are greatly deceived and are giving the enemy great advantage over them, which he is certainly will use to bind them hand and foot and to cast them into outer darkness. Unless they bestir themselves to work out their salvation with fear and trembling, while God, cooperating with their earnest efforts, works in them to will and to do His good pleasure. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. We'll be using the New American Standard Translation on that and reading that. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence also, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to do and to work for His good pleasure. Watch and pray, beloved, lest any of these snares of the enemy entrap you and beguile you of your reward. End of quote. Brethren, let us be living examples of God's love. And in conclusion, let our love be manifested so that it may cover a multitude of sins in long-suffering, in kindness, in godliness, in humility, in having a giving spirit, in nobility, in generosity, almost to a fault. in patience, and finally, in faithfulness to our Lord and to the brethren. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And may the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Dan. Brother Dan's given us the outworkings of love, and now we need to lay hold mightily on our Lord and his grace to help to inculcate these characteristics in our own lives. After the prayer, please sit down again and we'll have a few announcements.
Blessed and Holy Father, help us to be more like thy dear Son. Help us to love as thou lovest. Help us to show thy love more in our actions daily one to another as we seek to be pleasing in thy sight. We remember, dear Heavenly Father, not only ourselves assembled here this morning, but we remember those that are gathered in like manner around the world, and those that are isolated, and those that are in beds of pain and sickness or in sorrow. Strengthen each heart as thou knowest best, for thou art faithful in all of thy promises, and we lay hold on thy promises. We do ask forgiveness of our many sins and shortcomings, and if anything has either been said or done amiss, may it be overruled for our highest welfare. We do long for and pray for thy full speedy establishment of thy kingdom here upon the earth, that the whole world might know thee and love thee as we know thee and love thee now. We do leave all the remainder of this day into thy care and keeping, asking it all through the merit of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.